Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Morning show today. We welcome friends from the Riverdale School District today. We have Administrator Jeff Campbell for his regular visit, and he's brought along some friends today, including teachers Val Keegan, Anya Drone, and Juliet Schneider as well, joining us in the morning show studios. Well, Jeff, here it is, November already.
Yeah, flying by. We just finished up quarter number one, rolling into quarter number two, and this is the stretch before the holiday excitement. We kind of got two stretches in there before the holiday excitement, and then we turn the calendar over at the new year, and then we look at the big stretch of the school year. So we're the majority of our learning probably occurs during that time, but not as many breaks in that in our learning cycle. But the kids are doing really well, and the year's gone off to a good start.
The second quarter is unique because, yeah, you get going a couple of weeks, and then you have a holiday. And then you get to go a couple more weeks, and you have a holiday.
Yeah, it is. And kind of with Thanksgiving kind of a little bit later on the calendar this year, it falls a little bit closer to that Christmas break. So, yeah, we got about 2 weeks here, and then we'll come back for about three, and then a little bit longer Christmas break this year than normal, which kind of extends your school year a little bit. But, yeah, I think the kids do a pretty good job of bouncing back and forth, and the teachers in the classroom do a nice job of bringing them back in and just relaying those expectations again over those long breaks.
Monday was Veterans Day. Did you have special programs in the district?
We did, yeah. We held it at our junior high school, invited all of our 3rd through 12th graders, and this is really set up by Tom Nundorf, who is the leader of the Muscatine American Legion, and every year he puts together a nice program. He coordinated with Sarah Gruen, our junior high high school principal, and they put together a program for our entire community. And we have a great turnout every year. I'm just amazed by the turnout. Besides our kids, we pack the gym on both sides of the bleachers, and then just our community veterans come out, and it's a great day just to kind of give thanks to those individuals. And our kids always do a wonderful job kind of prepping for that, and it's a way that they can give back to a full gym, and those veterans can look around and really, I think, the kids really appreciate everything they've done, but they can look around and be like, you know, we made a big difference in this community, and to see all these kids here today and the ability to kind of be part of that.
I'm impressed at sporting events. Oftentimes your veterans group will come out and present the flag and the colors.
Yeah, they do for our football game. They've donated a flag to our football field that is brought out every year for that. Tom was involved in that too, and getting that so that kind of dedicated flag to the football field, to our flag there, and they present the colors, and we also raise a flag during that game that he has organized. So it's been nice. I think they're involved in our community, and our veterans and our American Legion's very involved in our summer baseball program for our kids at the high school level. So we've got great support from those people, and we really appreciate everything they've done for our district.
Has Riverdale initiated a Student of the Month program? Have you guys been doing that?
We have, and one nice thing about that is at the high school, junior high high school level, we've always had the high school program, and this past year, as part of our kind of professional learning communities with our junior high staff, is they wanted to see more recognition for our junior high students too, to give them a little bit more incentive. It kind of goes in that whole idea of we've really, since the kids moved over there and we made that a 712 building a number of years ago, we've had within the last 5 years kind of a way to make it more of a junior high building, you know, too, like their spot in the building. Because before it was kind of like they're part of that building, but they didn't have their separate area. And it started with the building of the addition that we were able to put on in 2021-22, and the students being able to have kind of their own wing now. So our 7th and 8th graders have their own wing. They have their own little commons area. It's kind of starting to become, they feel a little bit more like that's their area then. And the high school's got kind of their part. So that's helped out a lot. lot. So with that, we're trying to build that community, especially in that 7th and 8th grade level. They've got a lot of things going on in their life at that point, trying to figure out life and as 7th and 8th graders. So we started to junior high student of the month program similar to our high school one. So we pick one junior high student every month along with our two high school students that we select. And these are all teacher nominated. So every month our office at the high school asks for a junior high school asks for a nomination or a couple nominations, and then they're just randomly drawn out of a hat. Our area businesses really came through. We had sent a letter out two years ago, I believe it was, and we sent a letter out to our area businesses just asking for some donations for our Student of the Month candidates, and they came through with a number of things. So we're kind of really still using that to reward those kids. And then they also get the recognition for a month, on our school Facebook, on our TVs throughout the school. And one thing that we implemented 2 years ago along with this is that we acknowledge every kid at the end of the year that was nominated. They might not have got selected, but we have tons of nominations. And what's exciting about that is you see the number of kids that come down, to receive that they had no clue that they were nominated for Student of the Month. So just because they weren't selected, we wanted to make sure we distinguish those kids too as a nominee.
That's awesome. A little incentive there and, for better work, maybe better behavior and everything, right?
It is. It focuses a little bit on attitude. We put the achievement piece in there, dedication kind of to your school, your attendance, showing up, and then just the overall kindness to being an individual that you want to support all kids, no matter who you are and what you're involved in. And those kids get the recognition that they deserve then for just being those good people.
They wouldn't have had, when I went to school, they wouldn't have had it, but I probably wouldn't have been eligible. Oh, well, behavior is part of it.
There
that's
we
probably,
go.
Probably part of it. I know Mr. Simonson's in the building. I just saw him walk through, but their one act has done really well, hasn't it?
Yeah, this is exciting. I mean, anytime you can have a group or an organization or a team make it to the state tournament, it's you need high recognition for that because it's not easy no matter what you're involved in. And our drama program is just continuing to build, getting better and better. Chris does a wonderful job. We were kind of able to pull him back into the program, along with Katie Benedict, who actually we had talked about when we had him on last month. She's got an associate's degree in drama, so that's helped too. And the two of them working together, just exceptional job that they did with the kids. I went to their performance that they had before the sectional down in the little theater that we have, and it's just really, I'm always amazed because some of the quietest kids get on that stage and you're just like, wow, you just didn't know they had it in them. And it's kudos to Chris and Katie that just pull that out of kids. And it's just an exceptional thing that they're able to do and make to the state. They'll perform Thursday at 6:10 at UW-Milwaukee. So, and they'll stay overnight. And then the next day there's Chris said there's different opportunities for the kids. They can watch plays that are going on. They can take part in workshops that are going on. All kind of drama workshops. There's colleges there. You just never know when, that might be an opportunity that opens the door, you meet somebody. So just a great opportunity for our kids and, for Chris and Katie to lead them this way. It's really picking up. The participation in our school and the drama program has just has picked up over the last couple of years, and that's kind of because they're recruiting and just they really give a sense of belonging to students, and those kids just come out of their shells when they get on the stage.
Some of them, maybe that's their only extracurricular, but I'm always impressed at Riverdale. You have athletes, you see them on the practice field or whatever, and here they are out on the stage as well.
So. Yeah, we had multiple activities, events, and that's also tough too because they kind of have to work around the drama practice around different things, and they try to work together with all the organizations, and that's something we pride ourselves on. I felt we worked together pretty well that way, and making sure that we allow those opportunities for every kid. Everybody gets their time with those kids in their activity, but we want to make sure that they all have a equal chance of getting everything that they want to do within the high school.
We wanted to talk about Chieftain Care as well. What is that?
Yeah, that'll be a little bit also off our 4K program that Annie will talk about. But our Chieftain Care is our before and after school daycare. We've been running this for quite a while. I think this was started when Bryce Bird was administrator here. Just looking for an opportunity for families to have that I would say a lower cost care and a place where it's more convenient, where you can drop your kid off at school, open up at 6:30 in the morning. We have it staffed. They can drop their kid off at that time, and then they don't have to pick them up until 5 o'clock at night. And a lot of times that starts to work well for their jobs. And we just try to do it. The kids have activities in the morning. They have them after school. They have a snack, and then they just roll through the school day in the middle. So it's convenient for the kid, convenient for the family. We just have a nice staff that really works with those kids at that time, gets them off to a good start, or just kind of settles them down, gets some of their homework done. They'll go outside, they'll do indoor activities after school. But just another opportunity for families to make it a little more convenient at Riverdale and feel it a nice, safe place for their kids to be.
Where is that located at, Jeff?
We have a room dedicated to it within our school that is open. It's moved around a little bit depending on the different things that we have going on in our school. We may have to use the library at times, but we've really have one room that we kind of have decorated for that Chieftain Care location, and we'll use the gym when we need to after school for different things, or if the weather's nice, they head outside too. So very affordable and cheap for our families, which we want to keep it as. We've had to make a few adjustments, I would say a quarter, 50 cent adjustments each year, just kind of as we work through a little bit of inflation, but still very affordable for our families.
Well, we transition into Anya Drone, who's right next to you here. Anya, what a great opportunity for families, the Chieftain Care.
It really is. It just gets inconvenient when, even if it's a 15-minute time lapse in the morning where I've got to be to work, but my kiddo has to be to school. So how do we make that work? And, by providing this for our families, it just makes it convenient and everybody has a better day all around.
You're the 4K teacher there. Can you tell us about the 4K program at Riverdale?
Sure. So this is Riverdale's 24th year of offering 4K for our families. The most recent 10 years, we've offered it for 5 full days every day of the week. A lot of schools will still do part-time or maybe just a few days out of the week, but we kind of looked at our schedule and the benefits that this would offer our students, and we felt this was the best thing we could do for our kiddos. So, yeah, we have them there all the time, and they reap the benefits of being there and getting socialized, having, school lunches and all the educational things we can provide as they head on to kindergarten and the upper grades.
Yeah, it's a good transition for them, that's for sure. And those seem like long days for students that young, but it sounds like you've got things planned during the day to keep them going.
They do. It is a long day, but we're cognizant of that. And so, sometimes we just structure up the day as far as how we know they'll function best. A little bit on, a little bit off, and we definitely have enough things within our school to keep them busy all day long and keep them active and happy too. So
tell us about the early childhood program.
Sure. So our early childhood program services some of our youngest kiddos. They can be as young as 3, and they'll offer things such as speech services or occupational or physical therapy for little ones that would need that kind of help. And we team up with them throughout our day. The teachers are very helpful in as far as we've done different grouping, different classes, that kind of thing, where little groups need interaction with other kids. So we'll get together and do games and activities and things like that, or lessons that benefit all of them.
How many are a part of the 4K team as far as teachers?
So I'm the only full teacher that we have, and then we have a lot of paraprofessionals that also support the whole day format. So I have the kids for part of the day, and then they go to the other classroom for the other part of the day, and then we switch. So each kid is allowed to be there all day with all the benefits, but then they also get their educational portion with me too. So
that's awesome. Do they have a graduation from 4K eventually or not?
We don't do that. No. Our holiday program is coming up pretty soon, so we usually do a rousing holiday rendition. I was just thinking I'll have to get you the jokes. We're always good for jokes for Christmas.
I could use some.
You definitely love these. I have to rotate them. The parents, want to hear something fresh, but it's hard to get a 4-year-old to laugh. You'd be amazed. We have to come up with some pretty good ones. We always do our holiday program. And then the spring, it just gets so terribly busy, and so we try to get as many things in as we can, but we don't do a traditional graduation as part of that kind of thing, which you would expect, but yeah, they're always busy, and it's always fun to come and see what gains they make, and you know, from starting out as some of the youngest kiddos in the school to by the end of the year, they're ready to go off into kindergarten. And we have a lot of support throughout our school, too. We've got, you know, good literacy programs, math coaches coming on in and helping out with things. So, yeah, the kids definitely get a lot of benefits just from being there. And we've tried to make it so that it's not overwhelming for them because a lot of it's very new for them. But just to make it in a fun way that they don't realize that they're learning.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the key all the way through, actually. But what are some of the expectations for a 4K student by the end of the year then?
Sure. So we do have a lot of social expectations, academic expectations. And it's all, it's changed since we started. You know, I think parents have seen this too, where kids seem to be getting ready for things a little bit earlier. But we have an academic program with, you know, the letters of the alphabet, the sounds that are coming up. And then when they enter into kindergarten, they can start putting those into words and shaping those. Our math curriculum has a lot dealing with not just counting and the numbers, but subitizing and counting one to one, you know, making the formation of the numbers, little things that, you know, we just take for granted that we knew, but has to be taught at some point.
Sure.
They've got to learn it. So, yeah, all sorts of little things that everybody thinks, oh, surely they don't learn anything. They're just playing all day. There's a lot behind it.
That's awesome. So where do you find the energy, though? Because these little ones have some energy, don't they?
They do have some energy. There are days. Last week was definitely a struggle. The week after Halloween and daylight savings time is never my favorite. But we're rebounding now. So, and I think they share their energy, their smiles and their excitement for things. I keep thinking about what, you know, what brings me back, and the fact that from when I was four to the four-year-olds I have right now, the things that make a four-year-old smile, the things that get them engaged, it's still the same things. You know, even though we've advanced so much with technology, you know, when you do a rousing song of head, shoulders, knees, and toes, every four-year-old's in. So, you know, it's the little things that just keep them going, and I think that's what pulls me along, too. And then being at Riverdale, it's really nice to see the kids as they grow and age up into the next grades, and I see those gains that they make. And I think, gosh, you know, you started right here, and look how far you've come now, too. And, you know, hearing Jeff talk about what the kids are doing over there just brings it all home. It's really exciting to see how they grow up through the years.
Students still love to be read to, read aloud to, too, don't they?
Very much. You have hit on my absolute favorite thing. How did you know?
and look at the pictures, too.
They do, very much so, yes. I've been reading all along with them, and that is, you know, a core part of our curriculum. The kids enjoy it. It's one of my favorite times, and I think everybody knows when you have little ones at home, when you read to them and they get all done with it and they say, again, will you read it again? You know that you're pulling them in, and the things that they're learning from it, they aren't even aware of, but they just enjoy it. So yeah, it's always a fun part of our day. So
wonderful.
So with our 4K, in the summertime, when we have our second session, we call it our jumpstart session of summer school, we offer an opening spot to our incoming 4K. So the 3 weeks, we offer one full week to each little group. And so I can really keep the group small, and it's the perfect way to introduce our kids to our school. They get 5 little days, and it makes the first real day of school just so much easier. So all those little things, they know where the bathroom is, they know how to hold their lunch tray, all those little things that are big things to little ones. So
sure,
it helps them
and eases their mind when they get into the real school year.
Exactly.
Then,
so. Yeah. And maybe it's easier for me too.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it goes both ways.
Makes it all the better. So, and another fun thing about our schools, I'm sure Jeff has talked about our Riverdale Communities Education Foundation. So we do have 2 classrooms for our 4K, and that requires a lot of toys, manipulatives, games, activities, that kind of thing. Since they've been, I'm drawing a blank as to how many years our foundation has been in operation, but they have always been very generous in their donations to us. And the great Mrs. Stanek used to tell me, just put your wish book in, wish for the best. And so we would put in the things, and a lot of our equipment, our toys, our supplies, are things that they've provided for us. So, yeah, they I think the school board's going to come and pop by this week and see some of the, or no, not the school board, but
the community,
the foundation's going to come and check out some of the things that they've provided. So they will definitely see them in use.
Yeah. I've been there for when they award the money in the spring a couple of times, and I always want to be a mouse in the corner in some of these classrooms because some of the things they provide for sound like a lot of fun.
They are. And like Jeff said, with the economy or with, you know, budgeting and that kind of thing, it's just items that would be out of our realm of affordability. And kind of like everything, if it's got the name education on it, of course, it's got to be a costly item. But we just kind of pool together and figure out what we need for our classroom coming up, and they've footed the bill. So it's been a great addition to, you know, and supplement to our activities and our curriculum, all of those things. So, yeah, the kids reap the benefits. That's what they're there for. So,
we're talking about Riverdale Schools on the morning show, and we've heard from Jeff Campbell and Anya Drone. Now we're going to put Juliet Schneider and Val Keegan on the hot seat next here on the morning show from WRCO. It's our time to talk about all the great things going on in the Riverdale School District. Joining us this half is Juliet Schneider, who's a 5K teacher. We'll also talk to Val Keegan, second grade teacher as well. But Juliet, we'll talk to you first. There's a big Thanksgiving gathering coming up.
Yes, it's one of the big events that we do in kindergarten. So we invite families to come in. We prepare, used to be a really big feast for them. We would cook the turkeys, we would cook the dressing, stuffing, we would make pumpkin bars, and they would come in and enjoy a big meal with their children. Well, that had happened, I believe. I've talked to my predecessors about this, the ones that came before, and there was a couple teachers, one that taught at Avoca, and she started in 1981, and she remembers it happening when she was there and thinking that they used to make turkey soup. So it kind of started from there, and then it evolved a little bit. Another one did it in Blue River, so they kind of did their own things. And then when Riverdale came together in 1996, I think the new school was built, they kind of built off of that, and it's continued. So we've had it more than 40 years is what I've been told. So it's a really fun program. The kids enjoy. We practice a bunch of songs for them to come in. We've already started preparations for that this year. We sing about 10 different songs for the families, and then we do a little dance at the end. So put on a little program for them, and then we have the meal afterwards. So, and then we also prepare placemats that the kids decorate for their families. And then they wear, of course, the cute turkey headbands that all the parents love to see. So
what are some of the songs you sing?
Well, do you want me to sing some of them?
Well, sure, if you want.
Just a lot of turkey songs. There's a lot of silly little turkey jingles that we'll sing. We usually do one of the freeze dances at the end just for them to get their wiggles out a little bit. So it's kind of their second time being on stage after the 4K performance that they do. So we usually have a really big turnout, around 150 people, depending on how big the class size is. So, but yes, like I said, it's been happening for over 40 years, and it's gotten a little bit smaller through the years. This is my 10th year at Riverdale, and of course, we took a couple of years off with COVID. We were not able to have the feast. We called it then. It's kind of become more the gathering now. We do it on a little bit of a smaller scale. So now we just prepare pumpkin bars. We have cheese and cracker trays, veggie trays. Just with the cost of things, it got to be a lot. I mean, each classroom was purchasing a turkey for the families, so that got to be a lot. And it was always fun, though, to have the kids see that process, because a lot of them haven't been involved in helping cook a turkey at home before. Cutting up the vegetables, you know, putting everything together for the dressing, it was very hands-on for them. So they did enjoy that. And now it's a little bit cut back, like I said, but they still help with preparing the pumpkin bars. So it's fun for them to cook all that and see the end result.
Have you ever put together a kindergarten cookbook? I mean, some teachers have done that through the years.
No, but recently I've seen one from the Blue River School District that had not just kindergarten, but grades throughout, that they went back and each kid had submitted a recipe. And it's really interesting to see what they think takes time to cook and, you know, put this in for 5 minutes and it's done. And so, yes.
What do you like teaching about? What do you like about teaching at Riverdale?
Like I said, this is my 10th year here. I taught in Platteville before that. It's just a really great place to be. My kids enjoy being there. It's awesome to be in the same district as my kids, and there's so many opportunities available for them in such a small district that we have. So my kids are very involved. a lot of families give back. I know Mrs. Drone touched on the foundation. It's just a great place to work. So a lot of good things happening.
And your time as a teacher as well, what they accomplish now in 4K, I'm guessing they're a lot better prepared when you get them, don't they?
They are, yeah. A lot of them come to us now knowing all their letters, knowing the basic numbers, and then we just kind of build from there. Kindergarten is way different than what it used to be, the expectation. I mean, we start reading early on. They're adding and subtracting early on in the school year, and then we hope that we have them ready and prepared for first grade. So.
Lots of fun. You were going to talk about a 5K event as well. Is that was that something?
Mostly just our gathering that we do. Okay. We do a lot of other hands-on things throughout the year through centers.
I was thinking running.
Oh, no,
because,
no
of
running.
You being the runner that you are.
Yeah, yeah. Nope.
A 5K event. So.
They like to just, we do a lot of special things throughout the year. We'll make applesauce in the fall. We do green eggs and ham, you know, around to celebrate Dr. Seuss time. The big thing at the end of the year we do, we always go on the zoo trip to the Madison Zoo. So that's kind of our big outing for the year. So.
Awesome. I've always said if the world could be like a kindergarten class, you know,
right.
Wouldn't it be a better place?
Everybody would just be happy all the time.
Everybody would get along.
Yes.
So do you notice any difference with like the time change and things like that too?
Kind of like Mrs. Drone mentioned that it's just an adjustment. Anytime that the weekends are longer or coming back from Christmas break and spring break is always a bit of a difficult time just to get them back adjusted to being in school and the structure and the schedule, getting back into the routine of the day.
Sure. And they're full days for kindergarten.
Yes. Then. Kindergarten is full days. I remember being a kid. I think we used to go half days back at the Avoca school and we had nap time and it's very different now.
Do you still have nap time?
No, we do not.
No.
They kind of come in. We have a little bit of a quiet time after recess, after lunch recess. They come in, we read a story, and then it's off and running again. So,
Do you tell them stories about when you went to school at Riverdale?
Yeah, sometimes we do. It's actually kind of funny because my classroom that I'm in now, I used to go over and help Mrs. Drone on my senior year. I was a teacher helper in her classroom. So, and that's where I ended up.
So you knew you wanted to be a teacher then?
I did. Yep. From the start, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. So it's a great job to have. Demanding, but also a lot of fun. So every day is a new adventure.
Awesome. Did you ever think about older grades or was it always kindergarten?
I've kind of always been passionate about the younger ages. I spent some time teaching, doing daycare right out of college. And then I taught 4K and I keep graduating a little bit more every year. So
great. Well, it's good to have you in the studio with us today. Thanks for visiting the morning show. And then Val Keegan is here. Val, good to see you.
Good to see you.
You've been teaching a few years at Riverdale.
Yeah, since 1996.
1996.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're just a rookie yet then.
Just a rookie.
But something that you had probably back in the day, you're probably, they're out contributing in the district now in the public, right?
And it's very nice when they come back. So I've had the opportunity to have Juliet's, Henry, and Millie in my classroom, and they come back to check on me. And I see the same thing when my kids take a bathroom break. They all want to go and run and give Mrs. Drone a hug when they're at the bathroom to say hello to her and check on their siblings. So, yeah, it's nice to have them in second grade when they want to be your helper in sixth grade or middle school or high school. It's very rewarding.
It's nice that they have the community where they feel safe, though. They have all these people around them that they know and trust, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we do a really good job at that at Riverdale, just being a safety net to not just our students, but, you know, to our former students and to our colleagues. I think Riverdale does a really nice job of taking care of one another.
American Education Week is next week.
Yes.
In fact, we'll hear some announcements coming up from some Riverdale schools. But what are some things that the district is going to be doing to help commemorate this?
Sure. Our national theme is Together for Safe, Just, and Equitable Schools. And you're going to hear some radio spots pertaining to that put on by our Riverdale students and with Stephanie Worthington at the helm on that project. Our theme at Riverdale is What Makes Riverdale a Great School. American Education Week is celebrated the third full week of November, so next week we'll be in full swing. And it's just a chance to honor everybody that's a part of our child's education, you know, the teachers, the cooks, the janitors, the bus drivers, the office staff, our communities, our Riverdale Communities Education Foundation, our school board members, our administration. It's just the parents, the substitute teachers. It is a paraprofessionals, a group effort to make learning and opportunities the best that they can be for our children.
Some of those announcements reflect that, too. I've had the chance, I had a chance to record them, but a lot of them mention, you know, the cooks or the, you know, the coaches or mm-hmm. whatever. A lot Absolutely. Of people, you know, kind of behind mm-hmm. the scenes, too.
Yeah, and adding in that to our high school helpers and our middle school helpers, just all of those people that work with our students to make education the best it can be.
Anything else in terms of American Education Week? Any projects or anything you'd like to talk about, Belle?
So Monday was the school board meeting. We recognized all of their efforts with a cheese tray and some crackers to thank them for their dedication. This Friday, we have the Riverdale Community's Education Foundation members coming in to visit our classrooms. And just a shout out to them. They started 14 years ago, and they've given our students $131,536 back to our classrooms. So the little ones through high school. And it's a nice opportunity for those members to come into the classrooms to see all the wonderful resources they're providing our students. So I'm excited about that.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
$1 meal deal, too. Take advantage of this offer while supplies last. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you're on the road and you're driving a car from Sleepy Hollow. Oh, Sleepy Hollow. We'll take care of you. Come on over to Sleepy Hollow. Oh, Sleepy Hollow. We'll take care of you. Sleepy Hollow.
Barroquois.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
Okay, but what about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want four free phones.
What if I gave them kitchen tools?
Four free phones.
Well, how about a cozy sweater?
Four free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
Four free phones.
Four free phones.
That's how you take a hint. Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. WRCO News is sponsored by Court & Main Furniture & Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today's forecast calls for light rain this morning and then a high of 52 degrees, mostly cloudy and windy a little bit later on, 5 to 10 mile an hour winds. So far, 37 one-hundredths of an inch of rain here at the WRCO studios.
Fall in love with shopping local at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet. This season, embrace the cozy and shop where it matters most, right here in your community. From bedroom sets to lift chairs, we have everything you need to transform your home for the fall. Plus, you're supporting a local business when you choose us. Come in today and experience personalized service, unbeatable value, and that perfect piece you've been searching for. 172 South Church Street, downtown Richland Center. Or call 475-6090. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, where comfort meets community.
I'm Phil Nee for WRCO News. A Richland County resident was arrested for possession of child pornography on Wednesday morning. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assigned a cyber tip as an affiliated member of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for the reported possession. Wednesday morning around 8:45, deputies completed a search warrant. As a result, deputies took into custody Scott Warren File 28 of Sextonville for 10 counts of possession of child pornography and one count of felony bail jumping. Scott File currently has a diversion agreement through Richland County for similar reported acts in 2021. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assisted in this investigation by the Wisconsin ICAC Task Force, Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation, Digital Evidence Unit, Richland Center Police Department, and Lone Rock EMS. Now is the time to vaccinate against respiratory illnesses. Tom Haupt with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says 22% of Wisconsinites have received a flu shot, while 11% of the state residents have been vaccinated against COVID-19. The numbers for the flu vaccine are a little higher than last year. According to Haupt, about 1.2 million Americans are vaccinated against the flu this season, compared to 1.25 million last year. Haupt would like to see flu vaccines
vaccination rates as high as they were in the 2021 season when 44% received a flu shot. If you get it now, you can protect yourself through the new year. A longtime advocate for diabetes research and her husband were among the victims in a fiery crash that left five dead earlier this month in Dane County. A diabetes advocacy group identified the victims as Jeff and Michelle Bauer of Crandon, Wisconsin, Josh and Tammy Stahl of Minnesota, and Barry Sivers of Belleville. They were all active in a charitable bike ride that raises money for research. Michelle was well known in Madison and around the state as a longtime advocate for diabetes research after her son was diagnosed in 2000 when he was 3 years old. He died 10 years later. The cause of the accident remains under investigation. It happened the night of November 1st when their Tesla went off the road, struck a tree, and burst into flames. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde says he's lost the election. The statement comes today after Hovde released a video questioning the integrity of last week's election. Speaking on WISN radio on Wednesday, Hovde admitted to losing the election but did not concede to incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. He'll have until the end of next week to request a recount. Once the official canvassing is done, Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Diane Hasselbein says Hovde should just concede and stop playing games. The first electric charging stations are going online at Quick Trip. The company announced Wednesday that a set of chargers has been installed in West Salem and that the system will run off a new app called Quick Charge. The stations will offer plugs for both major vehicle standards and can charge at 150 kilowatts. The effort matches a push for expanded electric vehicle service in Wisconsin, which has seen fewer charging installations than other states. That makes it hard to travel to rural parts of the state. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking for your help. Location of the black bear dens across the state. Also, the research scientist Jennifer Price Tack says it's critical to have accurate information so they know how to handle bear harvests. Price Tack says helpful information includes GPS coordinates, photos of the den, area descriptions, and any info on bear activity. More information is available on the DNR's website. 62 units of blood were collected at the Muscadet Community Blood Drive on Tuesday, including 11 double red cell donations. Registration volunteers were Jackie Schmidick, along with Asher Frazier and Kate Frazier. Charlene, Janice, Marcia, Sandra, and Asher served refreshments and provided homemade baked goods. The next Muscadet Community Blood Drive will be Tuesday, January 14th from 11:30 until 5:30. During Tuesday night's meeting, the Baraboo City Council discussed closing the city pool, cuts to the city's shared ride taxi service, as well as increased event permit fees and parking fines, along other cost-saving measures were spoken of. Mayor Rob Nelson said the council will have to make some tough cost-cutting decisions in the coming weeks.
They are all trying to do the best job that they can with limited resources. Nobody wants to impose cuts that are going to be hurtful to portions of our population. Everybody's trying to do what they can to maintain the vitality and the health of the Baraboo community. And, you know, it's not an easy job.
Nelson said many of the economic challenges Baraboo is facing are structural and built into the state's funding formula for municipalities.
Until the legislature gives us some additional tools in our toolbox to try to raise revenue and pay our bills, we're going to always be looking for ways we can cut things. And so the items that we would be looking at for 2025 are basically the start, because the picture doesn't really look any better in 2026 or beyond. And so then you're going to have to look at additional things to be cut.
A majority of residents said no to a city operational referendum, which would have meant a $2 million tax levy increase to maintain Baraboo's current services.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information. The forecast for today calls for a high of 52. Looks like some light rain early on, otherwise mostly cloudy. West and northwest winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, a low of 35. Friday's high 54. Saturday, 55, with a slight chance of rain at night. Currently in Richland Center, we have received about 27 one-hundredths since midnight, 37 one-hundredths of an inch of rain since it began later last night. Right now, an east wind is at 4 miles per hour, and we are at our overnight low. It is 41 degrees. Some banks today are a whole lot more interested in the interest you pay them than the interest they take in you. Richland County Bank, your local hometown bank, appreciates the chance to have you as a customer, but that's just the beginning. Richland County Bank is interested in you. It's a part of Richland County Bank's commitment to great customer service. If you're interested in a bank that's interested in you, Richland County Bank is the right choice. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. Learn more at RichlandCountyBank.com.
Are you looking for some entertainment treasures? Visit the Family Thrift Shop in downtown Richland Center, where they're offering a huge 50% off all media items, CDs, DVDs, VHS tapes, records, albums. If it's media, it's half off. From the oldies but goodies to hard-to-find classics, they've got an amazing variety just waiting for you. Open Wednesday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturday 10 to 4. Stop by, explore, and uncover incredible finds. The Family Thrift Shop, where every visit is a treasure hunt.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a memorable night for the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and details on the Packers getting ready after getting some players that were injured, possibly a little healthier, to play the Bears.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. The Bucks were able to erase a 13-point halftime deficit Wednesday night, beating the Detroit Pistons in overtime, 127-120. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 59 points to go with 14 rebounds. Center Brooke Lopez added 29. The extra period victory became possible when the Pistons missed two free throws with 1 second left. Doc Rivers, the coach, says this was Giannis all the way.
When you think about having the score off the floor that we had, no Dame, no Chris Middleton, no Bobby Portis, no Ryan. So we're down to one living point guard on our team. And for him to do that and for us to score 137 points, though he got half of them almost, every basket was needed.
Giannis talked about why he took over.
The fourth quarter, I had to be more aggressive. I had to get more downhill, get to my spots. And, you know, sometimes you got to be able to do both. Sometimes you got to sacrifice yourself for the team. Sometimes you got to be extremely aggressive for the team. You know, sometimes being a selfish might be a selfish thing. Sometimes your teammates want you to be aggressive.
The Bucks with the victory over the Pistons. They'll have a little time off now. Their next game is coming up on Saturday against Charlotte. In state last night in men's college basketball, Green Bay was a winner over Western Illinois, 87-73, and Longwood defeated UW-Milwaukee, 76-62. The Badger women's team lost to South Dakota State, 79-57, in action from last night. On the state scene elsewhere, the Packers bye week has given its injured players time to recover. Jordan Love was a full participant in practice as he bounces back from a groin injury. Speedy rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd is also back at practice after 8 weeks on injured reserve. Three others, cornerback Jair Alexander, center Josh Myers, and safety Evan Williams, were practicing yesterday and appear to be on track for a return to live action. Only defensive lineman Colby Wooden was sidelined on Wednesday. The Wisconsin men's hockey team hopes to continue its dominance of Penn State when it travels there this weekend. Games will be played Friday and Saturday. The Badgers have beaten the Nittany Lions in five straight meetings, but they're trying to bounce back after being swept by Minnesota. Penn State had a bye last week, and the Lions, too, were swept by the Gophers the week before. UW sophomore forward Quinn Finley leads the Big Ten with 7 goals through 10 games. Finley and his teammates have a 2-8 record so far. And 4 high school standouts are trying to get their dibs on playing at Marquette in the next couple of years. The developments were announced by Coach Shaka Smart and the school Wednesday. Some college sports websites rank the recruiting class as high as 13th in the country. Nigel James Jr., Ian Metellick, along with Michael Phillips II and Adrian Stevens, have all signed an athletics aid agreement with the university. That's an update on sports on this Thursday morning. I'm Phil Nee. What do you get with a membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool, relaxing hot tub, steamy sauna, racquetball, exercise classes, exercise equipment, strength equipment, and lots of help from new friends. Exercise when it works best for you. Simon's Recreation Complex exercise rooms are available to members 24/7 with a keyless entry device. Would you like to learn how to swim or learn how to swim better? Simon's is offering classes or private lessons for adults and children.
Next week, we'll have our school board members popping into the classrooms to visit and to talk with the students. We'll have kindergarten through sixth grade students making videos to share on our TVs out in the lunchroom and over the announcements of what makes Riverdale great. We'll have some staff dress-up days and a potluck. We'll have electronic signage and message on the school televisions and on Riverdale social media. Our janitorial staff and grounds crew, they'll be putting up 4 banners in the area, so they'll have both ends of town, the industrial park, and in front of our building to celebrate American Education Week. Classroom teachers will be asking their students to reflect on what's special about Riverdale and maybe decorating some classroom doors. And also a nice shout out to all the new staff that showed up for our committee meeting. It's nice to have new ideas and fresh faces and to get to know the new staff in our building. In the past, we've had our art teacher, Candy Lee. She's made hall decorations for us, and we've included the parents with our, when it was closer to our parent-teacher conferences, we've included American Education Week projects in that. We've had student dress-up days, classroom door decorations. We've collected food for the local food pantry in the past. We've had treats in the workrooms with positive message to keep the staff going during a fun-filled week. So lots of fun things happening.
I bet the students get excited about this.
Oh,
don't they
do. They do. And when they see the videos of, you know, their classmates or their friends about what makes, you know, Riverdale special, they love that. They love the door decorations and the dress-up days. That'll be fun. This year, that was a new idea with some of our new members to have the staff dress up. Last year, it was the students that dressed up. This year, it's going to be the staff that dress up. So that'll be fun to bring the staff together and to have the kids comment on all the teachers wearing the same theme.
Yeah. What are the themes? Do you know what they
are? So we're going to have a Riverdale theme. We're going to have our alma mater, our college sweatshirts day. We'll have a kindness caring day, our favorite sports teams. So it'll be a fun week.
I bet the kids will really respond in that.
Absolutely.
As well. Sure.
Yeah.
We talked about the foundation and some of the grants that they've had through the years, but some pretty amazing things. Have they provided your classroom with anything you'd like to talk about?
I have a fun story about that. One year we had Scholastic News, which was a nice publication that, you know, you could have the paper, but also the electronic piece to it, the technology piece that the kids loved. And I had a student there, and his grandpa came in, Mr. Delcamp, and Abe wanted Grandpa to sit by him when he was visiting. And I had another student named Parker that looked up at Mr. Kinney and said, would you be my grandpa today?
Ah.
And he pulled up a chair and stayed for a Scholastic News lesson. And that was the best moment, you know, for the members and for my students. So they've just donated so much. In second grade, we've had, they've donated for our egg in the classroom. And so all of the parents, they learn about the plant cycle. So they get, they go over and they're teamed up with high school kids. They learn about the greenhouse and the plant life cycle. They pick out their plants that the high school kids have grown in the greenhouse that they want to give to their mothers. They have a pot that Ms. Coe and I have ordered for the students that they get to decorate, and they go through the whole process of the soil, the plant, the pot with their buddies. We also have a trip to the school farm with that egg in the classroom. We have the Iditarod grant that they provided for all the second grade team. We learn about the Alaskan Iditarod and provide books, and we also have a subscription to the Alaskan Iditarod Insiders. We get to follow the teams, and then there's another one, the Butterfly Project, so Caterpillar to Butterfly, and that's all provided by the foundation, and that's all second grade, so it brings us all together. It's really a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I remember hearing about the Iditarod Project at one of the foundation
grants. Right, kids get to pick
that.
They pick their mushers, and they follow the team and the health of the dogs, and we learn about Alaska. And this year, Mrs. Schaefer's teamed us up with, we'll be able to talk to, I don't know if it's a ranger from Alaska, but to learn more about, you know, the Alaska, about the weather, and about the dog team. So it's really a neat experience.
With the possibility, you know, with Zoom and things like that, mm-hmm. now you can talk right mm-hmm. up close and personal,
yep,
can't
yep.
you?
We'll meet together in Mrs. Goodman's room, and she'll have it up on her smart board, and we'll be able to meet with the park ranger in Alaska.
Why do you like teaching second grade, Val?
I think second grade's the perfect grade because most of them are pretty independent in the bathroom. And most of them can tie their shoes, and if they can't tie their shoes, they have to ask the big cheese or the cheese curd to tie their shoes. And if they get mad at their teacher, it lasts about 5 minutes.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
No.
There's, when kids are growing up, you know, there's the terrible two when they're 2 years old, but there's not the terrible second grade
no,
then, right?
No, it's a wonderful grade.
That comes down the line, maybe.
Yeah. They love school, and they come in with shiny faces and full of energy, kind of like Annie was talking about. You feed off of that energy some days that... Yeah, and it's a nice curriculum. It's a great team that I work with, and Riverdale's a good place.
Yeah, awesome. American Education Week is coming up next. We'll take one final time out and come back and recap our talk here about Riverdale Schools on today's morning show. Welcome back to our morning show studios on WRCO for some final comments about Riverdale Schools. And Administrator Jeff Campbell is here. Well, we've heard from some very enthusiastic teachers here in your district.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what makes Riverdale a great place. You can come on here and we can just talk about, you know, whatever's going on in the school, and I can say those things, but these are the people that live it day in and day out in the classrooms, and we have an exceptional staff there, and it's important to get their voices out there and heard because they are the ones doing the work behind the scenes and working with these families and kids. And what makes people feel really good about being at Riverdale is the teacher in the room, and you just walk through the hallways. One thing I will say is the renewed energy every day. If you need an energy pick-me-up, you just go when these kids come into school at the elementary school. I mean, it's an exciting time, and you really realize why you're doing what you're doing. It makes it a big deal. Every morning when those kids come in, they're excited to be there, and they want to get started with the day. So it just brings a renewed energy every day when you can stand out in front of the school and kind of see that and see that excitement from kids. And I think kids and families really feel really comfortable with the people that we have leading our classrooms at Riverdale.
If you could only bottle that energy up, you know.
Yeah, I need it some days. I tell you, I could use it. But it's nice. It's really nice what they do.
Do you recall some teachers in your days at Riverdale that were very influential?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I had Mrs. Stanek's name comes up a lot. She was on our foundation, passed away a couple years ago. Her son is on our school board and has been for over 25 years. And I think one of the biggest things with her was just the, you know, she taught us to be leaders. That was one thing she taught in her classroom at a young age, of how to be a leader and how to be a positive leader. And we were in Avoca Schools, and fourth graders were the oldest grade there. And it was just kind of like, we were responsible for a lot of things in the school. There wasn't as much help maybe in the school districts as there was with only one, grade per class. So a lot of responsibilities kind of fell on the kids to do those things around the school. So she taught us how to do that. And I also have to say my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Evelyn, was one that really made an impact on me and wanting to go into education and be that. And then you have a coach like Kurt Thompson that, made an impact and still there, making an impact on kids every day to go into the coaching and the teaching world. And just the way he handles himself, I think that's the biggest thing, the professionalism he brings to teaching and the respect that he earns from his students and the staff.
Yeah, always evident when I'm out there broadcasting baseball. They practice and they warm up and things like that with, you can tell that he does such a great job with them getting that respect.
Yeah, he definitely does. And I think it continues on, and we just got to keep him there and not let him leave. So he has our AD, and he does a lot of different roles for us that and does it really well, and just has good communication skills with area schools and kind of is a respected leader around the area, too, in that athletic role.
As we transition to talk a little bit about sports, winter sports will be starting soon, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely. We got our girls basketball going this week. We've got a new coach on our girls basketball program, Larry Swigum. He comes, actually assisted our boys the last 2 years, and he comes from a graduate of North Crawford, but he coached an Alaska assistant with the boys program up there, a very successful program, and coached some very high-ranking players, actually, that played well in college and into the pros. And he'll bring a renewed energy with our girls team this year, and a little different style than maybe what they've ran in the past. And he's done a lot of off-season work with that, and we'll do a nice job with our girls this year. Our powerlifting has started again. Jeff Johnson came back out of retirement. He'll be coaching our powerlifting again for another year. And then our boys basketball will be led by Chris Kenyon again this year. Chris has been the head coach for the last couple years on our boys side. And then Marcus Ingles will be leading our wrestling program. All of our programs are looking for some, we should have some pretty good seasons. We lost a lot of seniors last year, and that kind of affected our fall, getting these younger kids used to it a little bit, used to that level, and same will be in the winter time. But we're excited for some of our programs to really excel here come winter season.
Are you going to come back and do a little bit of sparring in the wrestling room or not?
I will. I'm going to help them as a volunteer. I don't get on the mat anymore. That's long gone for me, but I will. I'm going to help out volunteer when I'm able to. And just still be around the program and give back.
Indeed. That season, it seems like a long season. It starts now, for 4 months or so, but it does go by pretty quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And you get into weather cancellations and everything like that, and you're rearranging scheduling. All of a sudden, you got games piled up all over there, meets piled up all over the place and towards the end of the year. But it does go by quick. And before we know it, we'll be talking about tournaments, and, all the area schools will do really well. And it's nice to see the area schools do well. And, it really brings a lot more publicity to this area when we have programs doing what they did in the fall, and I know in the winter now we'll be strong again in this area.
One of the key things, too, you like to look at are the numbers and participation, and I think it's pretty good at Riverdale, isn't it?
It really is. We've got different opportunities. With the powerlifting opportunity, our kids have another realm to go than just the regular traditional sports, so that's a very good group that's in the mid-20s. Our wrestling will be in mid-20s. I know our girls are in that 20 range, and our boys around that 15 range. Lost about 10 seniors from last year, so they're kind of on the upswing of a young team that will get some more numbers as they go through the next couple years. But it's like our winter sports are some of our we have some of our highest participation numbers during that time, so we're looking forward to that. It's an opportunity. We're always trying to convince kids in the hallways just to give one of those opportunities a try, because we have so many of them in a small school like this, so you have an opportunity just to be part of something. And so just kind of be a person. It might not be your best sport, but you might be able to jump in there and help somebody out, help a team out, and get a couple extra wins.
Indeed. Lots of things coming up. Anya, we wanted to quiz you a little bit about, you've got a special, we didn't talk about the tree ceremony. Can you tell us about that for 4K?
I can. We forgot. So years ago, we were coming up with ideas for our Earth Day, and everybody else was doing, you know, different activities. And I thought, well, gosh, we just don't have a lot of trees. Our school was still new. And so we teamed up and have since, I guess my first group graduated a couple years ago. And so we have had a tree donated. It's usually been donated by our Walsh's Ace Hardware. Will donate a tree for us, and our janitor staff comes out, and on the property we will plant a tree with the kids at the end of their year, and they take care of it, and very often they will come back and check on it. And the fun part now has been, once the kids have aged all the way out of our program, the seniors will come back that year, so they come back and visit their tree while the little ones are planting their new tree.
Wow.
So kind of comes full circle and makes it really fun for everybody involved.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So have all of the trees survived through the years then?
There has been. Actually, we started because one of the trees got damaged. I think in the winter, a snowplow took a tree out. We thought, oh, well, let's replace that. That'll be a great start. And one of them just didn't do well with the sandy conditions nearby, and so it needed a little bit of extra care. But yeah, the kids got to come back and replant it and redonate it and all the things. But yeah, they love to see them grow, and just as they do.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Lots of fun. Well, good luck. Thanks for coming in, ladies. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
And good luck, and happy American Education Week next week.
Thanks.
Those announcements will be starting on the radio, in fact, next week then. Jeff, anything else you'd like to add today?
No, I think that's it. Once again, just appreciate you giving us the opportunity. We'll bring a new group next month, just talk about all the great things happening at Riverdale and the programs that we offer families and students at Riverdale.
We'll look forward to that. And I know the drama group, Mr. Simonson, always brings them in with a production around the holiday, too, so they'll be on in December, too.
Yep,
so
it'll be a great way for our kids to get in here and show again what they do and all the hard work that they put in.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in today, Jeff.
And you bet. Thank you.
Bring your friends. Yeah, we'll see you in December. This is The Morning Show from WRCO.